This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 121, sponsored by Jim Halen's Universe, Foo Comics, and Tristan Books.
There were trails of fallen trees, deciduous and weeding marsh. The lowland birds and crickets roared, the final sound of fall. Along the banks of the river, we approached the footbridge. Entering the wilderness, following my footsteps. The silence,
the sweetest. Hey, it's the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, ostensibly live from San Francisco. We are in a hotel room, so let's get on with it. I am Josh. I'm here with...
Hey, I'm Ron.
It's getting awkward.
It's awkward being in a hotel room.
And who else?
Connor.
And then, of course, you may have heard a special voice. Not
Hi.
Special that way.
It's Gordon the intern.
Yay!
Put your pants back on.
So yeah, we're in a hotel room. It's the only way I know how to do it.
So we're all together here in San Francisco on the eve of WonderCon. So by the time you hear this, WonderCon will have been over and we will have survived our first convention.
Or not.
Presumptuous.
Or not presumptuous. Yeah,
this would presuming. Be the greatest podcast ever.
It would be. It's our last recording. It's
They sounded so happy.
I did.
And they were killed in a bagging and boarding incident.
So, but we got a show to do. So let's
yes,
do that.
Yes, we do. iFanboy.com, as you may or may not know, is a website that we do because we like comic books. It's a reasonably much improved website, but a website nonetheless. Each week, one of us is charged with picking the best book that they read that week. And then we come here, we write a review about it, and then we come here and we talk about it on the podcast. Before we get to that, though, we should warn everyone that we're going to talk about the books that came out this past week, which means there will be spoilers. I got to think of a better word for that.
We should come up with a new term that will be adopted by the entire industry.
Yeah, that doesn't just spoilers is starting to get silly.
Tangerinators.
Tangerines.
Something just completely esoteric.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about the books that came out. So you haven't read them yet. You should come back after you have because it'll be better than Connor. You had a whole lot of books to read and a mighty task.
You know, it's probably inevitable that after the past 2 weeks were big weeks for books, but they were also really strong weeks for books. Whereas this week was also a big week. I had 19 books.
I had 19 books as well.
Very mediocre week of comics.
I disagree with you. I had a great time reading my books this week. It wasn't that mediocre.
I was in the mediocre camp.
Yeah, it was a tough row to hoe reading 19 books on Wednesday. I had to take a couple of breaks.
Before having to get on a plane Thursday very, very early.
Yeah. There's a couple of times I just stopped reading. There was just some horrible comics this week. But
not that it listened to us. We're like, oh, we had to get on a plane to go to San Francisco, and the comics weren't very good.
All right.
Like we're jet setters.
But there were some good ones. I had probably four or five really good books, and the best one I read was Zorro number 1 from Dynamite Entertainment, which is they're the company that does Lone Ranger. They're probably the most famous for Lone Ranger.
The hotly anticipated Zorro. How long did you tell Gordon? You told me about this. What, like last San Diego was it?
Yeah, Comic Con. There was a random poster. I was like, whoa, new Zorro.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because there was one a long time ago.
Yeah. Too. Then I remember you asked me a couple weeks ago, hey, did Zorro come out? And I'm like, there's a Zorro comic.
Written by Matt Wagner, who's a big name. Does Grendel, and they recently doing a lot of Batman miniseries and Mage also. And art by Francesco Francavilla.
Great name.
Which I'm probably pronouncing wrong, but he's...
listening, so it's okay.
And if it does, we're not doing this in Italian, so...
and basically, one of the complaints people leveled against Lone Ranger is that it's too decompressed. It takes a long time for the story to happen. It's very
I was going to say, explain what decompressed means, because I feel the decompressed comics argument has been bandied about a lot over the past couple of years, and to be honest, I was like, what does that mean?
It means decompressed comics is to now what widescreen comics were to the late 90s.
Same thing, yeah. Lots of big panels, not a lot of story. Written for the trade, paperback. Right. Each issue is not packed. It's like the antithesis of Fell.
Yeah.
Fell's got a lot crammed into 16 pages. Right. Lone Ranger, it's spread out. It took a while.
Yeah, you had to read the trade. Like, I can't imagine reading
it. It's like Ultimate Spider-Man, where it took 6 issues to get him in the costume. That's decompressed storytelling.
Right.
Whereas with Zorro, we drop right in. It's a parallel story, so there's a story happening in the present, which is a Spanish soldier stumbling into a bar to report that his unit's been attacked by this unknown black-clad creature. And then, while that's happening, we go to the past and we meet Zorro as a child.
Young Diego.
Diego de la Vega. And
is that his name?
Yeah.
I thought it was Don Diego.
Well, Don is like a...
Yeah,
that's like Mister.
Don Corleone.
Not, like, not Donald.
No.
Oh, okay.
His name's not Donald Vega.
Wasn't de la Vega in Street Fighter?
I don't know.
Or Vega?
Vega was, yeah.
Vega, yeah.
So we get...
Haruken!
We get the beginnings of his...
Is it?
Yeah, it's a D.
Oh, Hadouken.
This is the show you get when no one gets any sleep.
Yeah, what are the other names?
Blanca.
We're not going to talk about Dalsam. Street Fighter.
Enough.
I love Street Fighter.
Enough.
Yeah.
So you get the beginnings of his morality. He sees the Spanish soldiers doing some horrible things to people, the peasants and the poor people and this all takes place in the Los Angeles area before California is part of the United States. It's early
before Hollywood.
So the early 70s.
Yes. So in one hand you get to see how he became. You get introduced to his parents. This is going to be a fun show. It was really solid issue. It was really well done. Matt Wagner's, he's a great writer. He constructs a really great parallel story. So that by the time you get to the end of the book, you've gotten all the information you need on him as a kid and how he came to be, and then you've also got the frightening aspect of what he is now. And Zorro is one of the influences in Batman, was one of Bob Kane's influences.
That was the movie that his parents took him to
see? But
the night that they were shot.
Ooh, good call.
But in this one, as funny as that, Zorro's got a lot of Batman in him. He's what little you see of him, he's mostly a black outline. You don't really see much detail. He pops up out of the shadows, drops in, kills everybody, disappears again. So there's kind of a melding of Batman and Zorro in this, and it was a really, really good book.
I was surprised how sort of traditional it was. I think in the sense, like, it wasn't really reinventing everything all that much. It was
because I don't think you need to reinvent Zorro. Not a lot of people know of him.
But I mean, do you think the Lone Ranger was a reinventing of the Lone Ranger?
I don't know. I don't have anything to back it up. I just know that this is not a complaint. I'm saying they didn't say this is a whole new take on Zorro where he's a kickboxer from Thailand. Like it wasn't like it was
Harukan.
It was the
I think it's reversing. They're going back to basics. You haven't seen a Zorro. I don't know when the last time you saw a Zorro comic. And most people only know Zorro from Antonio.
I can match that. Marvel did a Zorro book in the early 90s that I fucking bought. I remember buying issue number one.
It was in black and white.
Yeah, no.
I have a trade in black and white.
Oh, yeah, then you must have the essential, or something like that. But they did, I remember it was a red cover and it had Zorro up on the horse. I totally remember that. Mm-hmm. So,
well, that's still been a long time.
Well, yeah, no, it's been a long time.
If you look at most of the reaction on the forum or on the website, people don't have a lot of knowledge of who Zorro is. I grew up loving Zorro from those old movies, from the old serial movies,
from the
70s
TV series that was on the Disney Channel.
Gordon knows the best Zorro, the Gay Blade.
Zorro the Gay Blade.
Yeah, George Hamilton. That was my favorite movie.
Phenomenal movie.
It's a great movie.
God, that's a funny movie.
You're giggling because it's the Gay Blade.
It's so well done in it.
It's so campy, but it's
George Hamilton in like the hat has got little like the little
dingleberry thing.
He gets tired of black, so he shows up in pink and purple and red.
Yeah, but it's like plum and avocado. Yeah. Everything's got like a fruity name.
I threw a quote in from that in my review. Caught that because nobody seen that movie. But
I didn't read your review.
Well, I didn't.
Awesome.
I was on a plane all morning. About? I'm sorry.
So I thought this was. I've been looking forward to this book also since they announced it last year, and it did not fail to deliver. I really like this in conjunction with Lone Ranger because as a kid, those are two of my favorite.
The thing about Dynamite and Dynamite Comics is the kind of an offshoot of Dynamic Forces, which has been known for doing a lot of like the variant covers and like signed editions and all this kind of collectible stuff. They've been publishing more and more comics more recently.
Didn't they just steal the G.I. Joe license from Devil's Due?
No, IDW did.
Oh, IDW, sorry.
But so they snatched up the Boys.
Yeah.
They snatched up the Battlestar Galactica license.
Red Sonja.
Yeah, exactly. So they're putting out more and more
Army of Darkness, yeah.
I got to tell you, though, this Lone Ranger Zorro niche
is
totally not being filled and done well.
No.
So this is smart of them.
It's them who are putting out the
It is them. They are the ones who are putting out the...
They're doing The Man with No Name by Chris Doskey.
Yeah, the next one coming out. I'm definitely going to pick that up, too.
I got to give him credit. I mean, awful logo for a company, but great choices with the books. I mean, like, they're,
Now, Gordon, you read this. What did you think?
Well, can I just say first how upset I was that there were variant covers? I walked in, I'm like, I can't buy all three.
Wow, it's like
you even called me. He's like, there's three covers.
So I just got the one I liked, but I think the book is great.
You weren't disappointed then after a year?
Not at all. And just talking about Lone Ranger, going back to that, I mean, I read the trade for that, so I didn't even think about it like, oh, this is taking forever because I had the trade.
Also, the Lone Ranger comes out infrequently.
Yes.
Yeah.
As I'm going to guess, this probably will too.
I hope not, but
I'm not too.
Yeah. Matt Wagner's not.
He's writing too. We'll see. Yeah.
But I'm excited to see. I like the little history part of it, you know, where we're going back to see the beginnings. But I'm excited to see Zorro, like the character, really develop.
And I think the art's great too. It's very unique. Like, and it's very fitting for the time period it's set in. You know, it looks old Spanish style. Ooh, that's a nasty cut on that guy's hand.
Yeah, the Z in the hand was awesome.
But I really like it. I like that it's sort of modernizing it a little in that he's more dangerous seeming.
Mm-hmm.
He seems scarier.
Yeah, it seems edgier.
But at the same time, it's very traditional.
I'm interested to see if the story, as Wagner plots the first arc or whatever, if it's, you know, kind of the flashbacks to the, you know, as the kid grows up and then becomes Zorro with a present day storyline, or we just jump in. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how it goes.
It's a kind of a coup to get Matt Wagner.
Yeah.
For them, I think.
Well, I think that at least the next issue will still have a kid because it says so on the back.
Yeah, that's
the next issue.
Well then,
so
trumped by the intern.
No, but we all read it. I liked it. I'll probably keep buying it. So, you know, Josh, did you like it as much or no?
I think I actually want to give it another read. I kind of rushed through it, but I don't know. Maybe I think maybe this would be the kind of thing I think I might like reading it as a 6-issue trade more.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I definitely would like it like that more. I don't think it felt decompressed, but it's funny because Dynamite's one of those companies that they don't put anything in the book, and then you get to the end, and there's like pages of their ads,
yeah.
And so like you're like, wait, oh no, that's it, like because I'm never prepared for the.
You think
end.
There's a lot more
like in a Marvel pages. Comic until recently when they started putting in their filler.
Yeah.
Like I like to know where the end is, you know. I like to feel like okay, I got this many pages left. They always sneak up on me. Image books do that.
Yeah, it's probably more your fault than the.
No, I know. It's just a tactile thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, number two says that it's still the parallel storyline between the kid and the
Modern
Israel.
So, all right.
So the biggest question mark, I think, this week of all the comics that came out was The Spirit number 14, which is the first issue from the new creative team of Sergio Aragonés, Mark Evanier, and
Mike Ploog
on art.
It's a different feel it's very than weird. Darwin Cook.
It wasn't bad.
No, I don't
But it wasn't...
good.
No, I wouldn't even say it wasn't good. I'd say
it suffers
different.
From comparison. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, it's not as Spirit number 14 wasn't nearly as stylized as Darwin Cook's issues.
It's Jurassic Park 3.
No.
It was a kind of movie, but
I mean, but the thing is that like nothing. I mean, nothing of this aside from the cell phones and texting and stuff like that. Nothing of this made me feel like it was made now.
Yeah.
Whereas Darwin Cook's did make it feel like it was made now.
You know what?
I feel like I could have picked this up in a collection of spirit stories from the 80s.
You know what this lacks?
You know
that is all over Darwin Cook's work is he has the an layouts. Inherent sexiness to his art.
Yeah.
Like not over the top in your face. Like
it's very subtle.
It's like everyone is sensual. All the women are and the men are like men and the women are sexy.
Yeah.
But it's never in your face.
Yep.
And it's sort of like when you think of the old PI movies, everyone's sort of sexy.
Yeah.
That is a high level of analysis, my friend.
And that's something that I think is in all of his work. And this is, I mean, it's totally not in this at all. No one is sexy in this book.
Yeah. And the thing, like I was saying, it lacks also, like I said, the dynamicism.
Yeah, there's no the art. I mean, the art is good, but it's
the
not.
The art is good, but like the layouts really aren't as creative or compelling. Like,
is there a big splash page?
No, it's a splash panel.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean.
Handing it to Josh. They would have been better off just ending the book. And it's nothing against this team.
Yeah,
I think it just suffers in comparison. Or they should have restarted at number one again.
I don't know.
I don't even know. I did not like it, but I don't know that I'm going to buy it again just because it's like.
Yeah, right. I definitely, after I finished it, I said, well, there's a book I don't need to keep buying.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll buy if I'm into it, but like, so, you know, like. Previously, when Darwin Cook was doing it, I was like, yeah, The Spirit, Will Eisner, excellent, you know, Godfather of comics, blah, blah, blah. Now I'm just like, okay. So, you know.
Well, I mean.
It wasn't bad, though.
No, it wasn't bad.
You know,
it was
a good story. It was a one and done. It had the same kind of wit. It had the characterizations were there. Like the.
I thought the Commissioner, not and again, my history of The Spirit is only from the Darwin Cook series, but I thought the Commissioner was all off.
Oh, no.
He seemed a little too stupid.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was a little more yuckstery. It was a little more, but I would expect that from Aragonés and Evanier.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. So. I don't know. Aragonés is writing. He's one half the writing team on Batlash, and that's not at all funny. It's a serious Western. So,
yeah.
I just think, while it's nothing against the creative team, I don't think there's any reason to continue buying this book. It's like coming on, you know, finishing a movie trilogy. The first two directors are fantastic.
Well, maybe watching a TV show and the creator leaves.
Yeah.
Maybe in the future. Yeah. It's West Wing season 5.
I'm just gonna say.
Final season of Gilmore Girls.
Final season of Gilmore Girls, which wasn't even that bad.
It was pretty bad.
The next issue we're gonna talk about.
I saw Luke on another show, and it feels all wrong. No hat. It's just like he needs to be wearing a hat all
the
time.
Losing his hair.
Speaking of feeling all wrong,
issue we're talking about is Checkmate 23, which is sort of bittersweet because it comes
the day that we find out, or the day before we find out, Greg Rucka is off of Checkmate of issue 25.
You know what, Greg Rucka?
What?
We sweat and we toil and we say, you all out there, you need to read this book. And we bring it up over and we make it the pick of the week on numerous occasions or just once or twice. And then, I'm leaving in two months.
But we don't know why.
I know. With him leaving the DC contract, you knew it was going to happen.
I'm not mad at him. But
at least the book's not getting canceled.
I feel like a lot like when we were like, oh, everybody.
The thing is, though, if you think about it, I mean, it sucks to say, but like. We're getting 25 issues, which is than I thought we'd ever get out of it.
And if I
so
think
two
about
it, solid
that,
years.
That's two solid years.
So the question, exactly. It's a great run. The thing is, do you think he knew that he was leaving with this arc, and that's why they're speeding up the extraction?
He said
of
he
this?
Knew a year ago.
Yeah. So basically, this issue 23 is the first the first part of the castling, you know, storyline where the deep cover agent
part
that they
one
put
of
in
three,
with,
I'm assuming.
Part one
which
of three,
is a callback to earlier episodes or issues where
you knew
there was a sleeper agent in Cobra,
right? And so now now they need to extract him, and so they bring in Superman, which I thought was fun. That I thought that was interesting.
It was
why yeah. Superman.
It was interesting, yeah. Except for the page, the first page he's on, where I was like, "How are his arms attached to his body?"
He was
his arms don't look anatomically. It's not.
Yeah,
they're turned out like
there was ridiculous. A couple of places like they were like, "Hey, the Superman on that page is too big," and then there's another one where Mr. Terrific's on the beach.
Yeah.
And he's gigantic. Yeah.
Is that the same disease, the JSA disease, where everybody's getting bigger and bigger.
Yep. Yeah. I know. I actually checked to see if it was this, if it was Eagleshim. I was like, did he draw this? Because everybody's so bulky.
Yeah. Oh, no.
There's a performance enhancing problem in the DCU.
Aside from that,
HGH all through the DC is going to rock.
SHGH.
It's going to rock the superhero community.
This was a great issue.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally had fun with this. I loved the bringing Superman in like that.
Yeah.
Because he, like his first line was, first off, I don't like Checkmate. Or whatever it was, something like that.
Because they're an old Superman
fan. And I don't like how you think you can deputize me. Like, he's just like,
but I'll help you, because that's what Superman does.
And I mean, it seems to be like one of the things that's happening in sort of second and third tier level DC books is they keep bringing Superman in.
Yeah.
And those moments are always great. And they do it over and over again, and it should be getting old, but it's always fun. It's like, oh, there's Superman. He's going to tell him what's what.
Yep.
I think Greg Rucka should write Superman.
Didn't he?
Didn't he? He did.
Yeah, but he should come back to write it.
Carl Kershaw drew it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I guess I probably should have bought it then. I guess I have no one to blame but myself.
Yeah, no, it was good. It's a shame that he's going to go. And then had a little preview of the Titans together.
What's the deal with that book?
I mean,
the Titans
together. It's the original Teen Titans.
No, Titans together is the name of the story.
Yeah.
So is that a new series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that necessary?
Yeah, it's the originals.
Okay.
Written by Judd Winnick.
This would be good. Although the art...
Art's not good.
You know what, though? It's Ian Churchill, who I normally don't like at all, but the way that they're producing it in this one, I liked it a little more than you normally don't like it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Something that was almost pick of the week. I had three strong candidates. We're getting to one now, the next one in a couple of books. Batman Confidential 13, which...
Didn't this title get canceled yet?
Apparently not.
I thought you dropped it.
I did drop it. I dropped it after the second issue, but they brought in... The first arc had a horrible creative team. Second arc, Andy Duggal was the writer, but the art was Wheels Portacio.
Superman Confidential is the one that's in trouble,
right? The second story arc, I bought the first issue of.
Mm-hmm.
And
the Joker story,
right? The Joker, and I did not like that at all. This one, I looked up, and it was Tony Bedard, Rags Morales on art, and it's a Batman Nightwing team-up. So...
It was good.
Hey. What are you going to do? I'm going to buy that. So I bought, and it was really, really good. It's
you were one of seven people who.
Basically,
bought it.
What this book is it's a reincarnation of Batman Legends of the Dark Knight. It's that out of continuity stories. Because at first I forgot that. So at first I was like, why is he? What? There's no yellow circle on his chest anymore. Why is Nightwing in the old 70s, you know, collar costume? And then I remember I forgot because I hadn't bought this book in so long that it's
that
out
it
of.
Doesn't matter. Right?
It's out of story. It's out of chronology stories. So
right, it doesn't matter.
It was a really strong. Tony Bedard writes a good Batman, and Rags Morales draws good.
Oh wow! They really went really old school with Nightwing.
Yeah,
it's the light blue costume.
It's the first one. Yeah.
Wow, the disco costume.
So basically, it's there's a criminal in Gotham with costumes.
A criminal in Gotham,
similar to Batman's. He's killing cops and he's going after Gordon. And he had previously showed up Batman lore. He beat the hell out of Alfred. So you know, it's personal now. So
you don't beat up Alfred.
No,
you never do. That's a bad move.
And it's basically one of the first times Dick's been back since he dropped the Robin. Persona, so there's a little tense between the two of them.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it was really good. Really, it was just a really solid Batman story that we just don't get anymore, because Morrison's doing his thing, which I like sometimes, I don't like other times.
Mm-hmm.
Dini does his thing, which hasn't been regular because of Countdown.
Right.
I just don't... There aren't any solid Batman stories without any baggage.
Is this a part one, or is this...
It's part one of whatever it is. Doesn't...
Nah. Just new story arc.
Cool.
Yeah, new story arc, Confidential.
Who knew?
Batman.
So of all the books that came out this week, the one that cracked me up the most probably was The Mighty Avengers. And I'm really curious to hear what you guys thought of it.
Cracked you up the most?
Yeah.
You thought it was funny?
Yes.
It was funny in parts.
I was more shocked by what I thought. Okay, there are things that I thought was really good about it.
Mighty Avengers, Brian Michael Bendis, Mike Bagley.
Mark Bagley. So it starts off, so basically with the last issue, they found out that the whole Venom thing that happened in the city was caused by a satellite owned by Doom. Dr. Doom. So they go to Latveria to attack Doom. So the issue starts with Doom in the past with Morgan Le Fay.
In the 13th century.
Yeah, 1211. And the art style is it's the heavily kind of
it's
painted.
Marko Djurković.
So it's a painted kind of art style. Looks different to reflect the time. Then he comes back to the present, and as he comes back to the present on his time platform, all the alarms are going off because the Avengers are attacking because he had no idea because the satellite broke, and that's what caused the Venom things to get dropped. And he's like, "Oh crap!" All right. So then there is literally six pages, two-page splash page of the battle. Which I turn the first two. I'm like, wow, look at that. I turn the next two. Wow, look at that. Turn the next two. Again? Like, I couldn't believe they did six pages of it.
I was so annoyed
by
that.
So then they fight, and then Iron Man and Dr. Doom tussle. I really liked how you had Iron Man's little inner dialogue of the suit reporting his shield strength, mm-hmm. and at the same time, Doom with his report, showing that really they have the same technology, but the Doom suit versus the Iron Man suit. Them fighting, they end up on the time platform. And it goes off, and then they land in what's presumably like the 50s or 60s, and the art style changes to a more dot pitch, badly printed Silver Age kind of look, which I thought, I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Yeah. Like, I just loved it. I thought it was awesome. So
I really like this book. I like this book a lot.
Yeah.
I was totally annoyed by this book.
I knew you would be. I knew it.
Because A, like the first time I was like, oh, a two-page spread. I get that's fine. I was, oh, another one.
Yep.
Let me just,
another one?
Another one. I was like, I'm paying for this?
Yeah, look at the art. The art's
great.
Fantastic.
The art was awesome.
That's not
awesome.
Story. They're pinups. I don't want pinups.
It was a fight.
It's a huge battle. How do you show a huge battle?
Doombots. There's so many Doombots.
However, I liked the pitting of Iron Man against Dr. Doom. I thought that was interesting. Because really, they sort of are naturally
the same
match.
Yeah, which I never even thought of.
No, exactly. However, at the same time, I'm like, isn't there something going on that we need to get to right now? Well,
that's an overall problem.
I know.
Had this been 6 months ago, this would have been awesome.
Maybe, but it's the same. Like, please get on with the other thing.
I just love that whole Venom red herring was all caused by just like a mistake. Like Doom, just like crap. I wasn't ready for that. Like, it's like I don't know.
You know what's great about Bagley is he's fast, but it's not like he skips.
No, yeah.
I mean, look at these splash pages. Whether or not you like them, they're full of details.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
He's amazingly fast. It's not like he's not doing backgrounds.
Right,
you know?
So
people could take a lesson from from.
But when it fell into dot pitchy, I just thought it was awesome. Yeah, cool. So, yeah, it was a good time. So.
How about we do a sponsor now?
Sure, let's do that.
Okay. If you were in New York City, which we're not, as you can clearly tell, because we're off our game. I would go to Jim Hanley's Universe to get your comics. They have one of the biggest selections pretty much anywhere of all the comics and books and merchandise and t-shirts and toys and all that stuff that you could ever want. There were art and literature meet. You can if you're ever in the city, you can go to them at 33rd Street between 5th and 6th, or if you're on Staten Island, they're 325 New Dorp Lane. You can visit them at MySpace, which is myspace.com/JHUniverse, and friend them, or you can go to jhuniverse.com. And we want to thank them again for sponsoring the show.
Yay!
The third book that was almost pick of the week, shockingly enough, was Batman Superman. Superman Batman. number 46.
I know how to scratch Connor's itch.
Remember I told you guys about the first issue on the show a couple months ago where they were filming a movie about Batman and Superman and they were watching it and it was funny?
Yes,
I
do remember this.
The Batman origin.
Yeah, I remember that.
This is the same storyline, basically. it's only issue chapter 3. It's 3 months ago.
Yeah.
They're trying to rid the world of kryptonite, Batman, Superman.
Right, yeah.
Because in that first issue, he got a kryptonite shrapnel from a bomb, and it went all in his eyeball and everything.
got a small infection. It was ugly. It was pussy.
So in this issue, they discover a new strand of kryptonite, silver kryptonite.
Awesome.
Which makes Superman high. Exactly. He sees all.
I wonder what Mark Wade thinks of this one.
He sees all the. He sees all the superheroes as little children.
Oh my god!
And he's got the munchies and he plays video games on the satellite while they try to figure out how to cure him of this, and it's mystical. The reason why it's silver, it was an amulet, kryptonite made to an amulet by the magic people, and so Santana shows up. And what was great about this Beyond High Superman, which is really funny, was. They've recently established with Paul Dini that Batman and Zatanna know each other as children or as teenagers.
Yep.
And I'm reading this issue, I'm like, they should get together.
Because
they are so opposite. He is the cold, methodical science guy, and she is the fantastical magic girl. And he doesn't believe her shit, and she's like, "You're an idiot." They still have the spark.
It's moonlighting.
There. And then something happens to Ben. What happens? Oh, he gets exposed to the amulet. They have to get the second piece of it. Batman gets exposed to the amulet because they have to get the second piece to cure Superman. And it reveals to him all his inner wants that he won't even recognize on a conscious level.
And they are.
One is he wants a normal family with his parents, and there's a whole bunch of dialogue with that. And the other is him making out with Zatanna.
Awesome.
So he wants family and love, but he won't recognize it.
He's been setting this up the whole time.
Yeah.
And you know,
that's brilliant.
Well,
and then at the end, life. so at the anyway. End, so Batman's all like, because he saw this, and at the end, Superman and Batman are talking. Superman's been cured, and they're on the watchtower. And Superman says, "I can finally see why people need an escape, because he got an escape while he was high."
Yeah.
And he says, well, of course.
So is this just justifying drugs?
But then the final line is, well, everyone except for you, Bruce. And then he walks away, and the last panel is just Batman standing there staring off into space because he got to see that he really deep down wants these things, but he won't acknowledge them. So it was one of those patented animated series endings, you know, where they used to hammer you at the end.
Yeah.
That Batman's really unhappy.
Who wrote this?
Some
guy. That was freaky, dude.
I'm sorry, that's the inker. Michael Green and Mike Johnson.
But who's the inker?
Matt Banning.
Those are pen names. Matt Green and Matt Johnson.
And who's the inker's name?
Mark it up as the Matts.
Matt Banning's the inker. Michael Green and Mike Johnson were the writers. Okay. And Shane Davis was the pencil. But it was alternately funny and touching, which is cool. Why it was almost Pick of the Week.
So I don't normally like to talk about bad books. I try not to talk about bad books. You know,
I love talking about bad books.
I know. But if there was a poster child for worst comic book of the year so far, it would be The Flash number 237.
Oh, my God.
Pains me
I've
to be saying
this.
Are we still
again.
Mark Waid?
No, this is now. So this is a fill-in issue with a guest writer of Keith Champagne. And
well, I've heard his name before.
I've heard his name.
Yeah.
I can't think of it right now.
And
it's also a delicious alcoholic beverage.
And guest penciler Coy Turnbull. If there was a union in comics for artists, Coy Turnbull should have his card revoked because the art was unbelievably bad. It was like Extreme Studios early 90s Image, Liefeld, like bad comics, like bad J. Scott Campbell ripoff, kind of like just bad.
Struggled through this book.
We're going to meet that guy this weekend.
And I closed.
No, totally.
Man. You won't have heard this, though, before.
Yeah, sure.
And I closed the book and I said, I'm done with this. I'm done.
Yeah,
I tried to make it through the Waid stuff. I liked some of it. I liked it more than other people did. But
I can't believe how The Flash...
I'm not interested in his character anymore.
The Flash in the past 15 years went from obscurity to meaning brought by Mark Waid.
Yep.
And now has been brought out of meaning into complete uselessness by Mark Waid as well.
You can't go home again.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You can sometimes, but not... You know what?
I did like that Livewire was in it, the character from the anime series. I know you hate her, but I was like, oh, that's fun. Live the electricity chick. Essentially, what happens is that it's a one issue story where the Flash and his wife set up a test for the kids, where they have to go on a scavenger hunt in Metropolis, and they have to get Superman's cape. And turns out there's a big battle at Livewire, and Superman gets knocked down. And the kid, the boy, the son, is in the position where he can steal the cape, but says no stealing's wrong. And then the Flash goes, "You passed." And it was so
well. You know what? For a brief moment in the beginning, I thought it was going to be interesting when the kid said, "Why don't we just rob banks? Why do you need to get a job?"
Yeah.
And I thought, "Ooh, they might take this in an interesting direction. The kid might sort of be morally gray."
Right.
But no.
Yep.
And here's the thing: it's not about the Flash anymore.
No.
It's about these two kids.
Yep.
It's not the book's called The Flash, but it's about.
There's nothing Connor hates is when something takes a domestic turn.
No, but it's not even about the Flash.
Well, no. Keep in mind though, Captain America. It's not about Captain America, but it's
he's dead though.
Right, I know.
Yeah, I remember.
He's standing right there. The Flash
in the book,
there.
But he's not even in the book anymore.
Right. Yeah, I know.
It's about these two kids who I don't know nothing about nor care
I can't
about.
Stand. Yeah,
I'm done.
Kill them.
It kills me because one of the biggest books for me when I first started going regularly in junior high school was Flash 50 came out.
Yeah,
that was one of the impetuses to start going regularly.
Yeah,
I've been reading this book forever. I dropped it briefly when. Abnett and Lanning.
Yep.
Abnett and Lanning took over.
Yep.
And that was hard. Now I'm done.
Well, the thing is, the only reason why I'm still holding out is because this was a guest penciler and guest writer. So I don't know. So who starts next issue?
It doesn't say.
Yes, it does.
That bad.
The art was awful.
If you like that style.
No, this is not good for that style. No, this wasn't even good in that style.
I haven't read all the way through it. I'm just thumbing through
it. Yeah, I'm offended that you think it's not that bad.
Well, no, I mean, I don't really like that type of style.
It's going to be a rumble.
I forget who the new writer is, but it was somebody whoever. It says in the corner, doesn't it?
No, it says.
Yes, the lower corner.
It says, Fast Money Begins, Wally Breaks. It does nothing but to.
Oh, really? I thought there was a new writer coming. Anyway, so, whatever.
I mean, I dropped it months ago.
Conversely, and I know I'm solo on this, but Invincible number 48 came out this week, and I am reading it in issues very nicely. I'm not going to spoil anything.
With you.
I'm not going to spoil anything.
We will come over there.
I will jump over this bed.
But what I like about Invincible is that if for continuity freaks like me and fans of superhero line stuff like that, if you want a book that's like a flagship of the Image kind of superhero line, it is Invincible.
Absolutely.
And as evidenced and in a very humorous way, in that in the storyline of almost out of nowhere, a villain emerges and takes on the entire Image universe. And in different cities, he starts attacking. And it's funny because the way they laid it out was each page had two panels. And like in Chicago, and there's Savage Dragon fighting him. He goes, Savage Dragon appears semi-monthly in Savage Dragon. And then it's like in New York City, Dynamo 5 appears monthly in Dynamo 5. And like had each of the people. And it was just very like the Astounding Wolfman appears bi-monthly. Like it was just like.
No, he doesn't.
Kirkman. Yeah, I know.
yearly?
Kirkman by himself is creating an Image universe and like really making me feel like the Marvel comics of the 80s and the 90s that he grew up reading and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was just a lot of fun. And this is just leading up to the 50th issue, which is going to be awesome. So I just wanted to chime in about that. And
I'm happy to see that when we've added a new function, the pull function on iFanboy, where we can see how many people buy each book. A lot more people than I thought would pull Invincible.
Yeah, no, a lot of people. I mean, it works as a weekly. I mean, it works as a monthly issue. I mean, I know you guys are married to the trade format and stuff like that because it's where you started and stuff like that. But
I'm just happy to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been reading an issue since 42, and it's been awesome. It's been great when it comes out. I mean, and Kirkman admits in the letters column, he's like, "Yeah, our schedule's all messed up. Sorry." And then they went on to the letters.
Look over here, snap.
But
well, Wolfman's off. I mean, it's not even coming out.
So then finally, the other book I want to talk about was Hulk number 2, because I know a lot of people are asking. I am reading Hulk. So we had the first appearance of the Red Hulk. This whole issue took place. Do you remember the gold and red helicarrier that Bendis introduced in Mighty Avengers?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen that since then? No, it pops up in this book. And then they crashed it, which I thought was hysterical because it was like a net. But basically, the Red Hulk attacks there and basically kicks all their asses.
Isn't the Red Hulk Rick
and crashes
Jones?
The helicarrier? Well, no, he's not, because at the end, it appears that Rick Jones now is the new Abomination. Go figure. Go figure. It's wacky, but
Hulk was a red herring.
The one thing about this book that made me laugh, because remember how I said it was I'm reading it because it's a car wreck waiting to happen. Yeah, it's going that direction because they're over New York City in the helicarrier. Hulk comes on. He takes out She-Hulk. He fucks everybody up and then he starts crashing the helicarrier. Iron Man now has a legion of Iron Men. And they're all S.H.I.E.L.D. agents wearing Iron Man armor.
What?
And so he's like, Iron Man. And so they're pushing the helicarrier to get it all away from New York. And like, push it into New Jersey. There's a field that's been through this before. And then you turn the page, and it's a two-page spread of the burning helicarrier crashing and Iron Man screaming, "Oh, the humanity."
Oh, God.
I know. I know.
Are you serious?
No, I'm dead serious.
It's just, oh, God.
I know. It's like, I was like, really?
That was like the stuff that I hated in The Ultimates 3. Yeah. There was pages like that. And I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh.
But now the saving grace is, ooh, Ed McGuinness's art is just beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's so hard because it's like eating a beautiful looking presented meal that tastes like crap. You know what I mean? Like I'm trying to think of a good, like, it looks beautiful, but like, it's like, oh my God, he actually had it crash in New Jersey. And they said the field, whatever the name it was, and said, oh, the humanity. Like,
maybe it's supposed to be a joke.
I don't know.
You know what? This is a slight digression, but S.H.I.E.L.D. and Tony Stark are in every book.
Yeah.
Like they were in Iron Man. I mean, obviously he's in Iron Man, but like.
Well, yeah, he's the thing now. He's the linchpin of the
He's the thing now?
He's the thing now.
He's in the Fantastic Four,
yeah,
too.
He's everywhere. He's in every team.
I hate to say this, but the continuity of it is starting to bug me.
Yeah, no.
Wow.
He's doing too much.
Yeah. Continuity, baby.
It's finally grabbed on the Josh.
No, but it's like Spider-Man, who had 5-day jobs. And you're like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So,
and also, if you read the Iron Man book, it makes no sense.
Well, in Iron Man, he's in the old armor.
But he's also on psychiatric leave from being...
Is it psychiatric leave?
He's on psychiatric leave from being the director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What the fuck? Really?
He wasn't allowed to use his new armor.
Yeah,
so he had to open the old armor so that he had something to go fight the Mandarin with.
It doesn't make any sense.
Like,
it's a great book, but
Maria
you have
Hill
to read
thinks
it.
He's gone crackers.
But in this book, him and Maria Hill are like having power struggles.
And
Maria Hill refers to it, she's like, "Well, we have a problem on helicarrier gold." And he's like, "Don't call it that." She's like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "It's the helicarrier." She's like, well, no, it's another helicarrier. He's like, no, I spent $8 billion of the government's money on this. It's the helicarrier. Like, it was like the weird kind of power struggle, you know, like when you have a new boss come and they all, you know.
There's too many people working with Maria Hill, for example.
Yes.
She's being developed in five different books. Where's like, who's the editor? Who's
and she was
to be, like,
awesome, too.
It's all stretched out too thin. And when I didn't read all those books, I didn't notice. But now that I'm like, you're talking about that one book, and I was like, well, wait a minute, Iron Man, this is happening. Yeah. It's just
he's on leave in Iron Man.
That's fucking crazy. That's crazy. I'm sorry.
It's a good book, but it's.
All right, so if you're crazy and you want to follow continuity too, you should check out a new website called FooComics.com. It's a site that allows comic book stores to manage their customers' pull lists and subscriptions. And so it's really, you know, it's really easy for a store to, you know, enter their patrons' information, run reports, all that kind of cool stuff. It was created by a comic collector, so he knows exactly what he's looking for. You know, what a store would want out of a service like this. And the best part of it is that it's free. So head over to foocomics.com/ifanboy. That's foocomics.com/ifanboy. And it's a great little companion piece to the new ifanboy with our pull list function. And so you can make your pulls on ifanboy, tell your store to go use foocomics. Everybody is happy.
Everybody wins.
Aww. So just real quick, kind of programming note. Because we're here in the hotel room, normally we'd be doing emails and voicemails. But this week, we're just doing all books. We're doing all comics. It's a special convention special. So we're going to dive back in now.
Sort of in follow-up to the Hulk Iron Man discussion, this week, Ultimate Human number 2 of 4, written by Warren Ellis, came out. I really like this book. Are you guys reading this?
Yeah.
No, I stopped.
Really?
Yeah, because it doesn't matter.
I know, but that's the thing. It's like, I don't know anything about this Hulk and this Bruce Banner.
The art is great, though. I gotta give credit.
This Bruce Banner and Hulk are different than the Marvel Universe one, I feel like, in a way.
Yeah.
They've got, like, it's like a different motivation about him. And it's just a big fun book.
It's weird. It's a good book, but you sort of have to look at it separately.
I do. And that's how I enjoy it. Basically.
No, absolutely. I think on its own, it's fun. The Ultimate Universe is the same problem as the Marvel Universe, is that it doesn't all fit together. So
yeah,
you have
and they're apparently they're going now Ultimatum and all this kind of stuff is going to fix that supposedly.
Yeah. Well,
but,
see, I don't read any of those books. Yeah. I just read Ultimate Spider-Man. So this is just exists on its own. And
art in that is great though. Yeah,
yeah, it is. And
no,
I really like
Tony in it. I like his boozy sort of flippant personality and
boozy.
Yeah, this was just a fun book. Beautiful art.
Haven't heard from boozy in a long time.
This is going to make a really nice little collection.
Yeah.
Four issues.
It's a nice little Warren Ellis.
The question. Is 4 issues enough for trade? And do you think that this is the first of like a trilogy, like the Ultimate Secret, Ultimate Nightmare that they did, and that's going to be a bigger collection?
Maybe, but I don't care. I mean, but if it makes an $8 trade paperback collection that you can give somebody who likes Iron Man and the Hulk,
bonus.
You know, who can find fault with that? By the way, I just said I like the Hulk book.
Hey,
but it was an Ultimate book, so it doesn't count.
Suck it.
Justice League. One day soon, Dwayne McDuffie will be able to write Justice League.
No, it's funny because Justice League has been a hot topic. I enjoyed this issue.
I like this issue.
Now, there's something about this issue that freaked me out. So this is Justice League versus the Suicide Squad.
Yep.
Essentially, the Justice League is investigating Amanda Waller's kind of prison planet.
Yeah.
And so she has the Suicide Squad go invade the Hall of Justice, which you wouldn't think is a good idea. But what freaked me out was, you know, the cat guy?
Yeah.
That's a mask.
Yeah.
In Suicide Squad?
This is like the question.
Yeah.
I was so crushed when I found out that
he took the head off. I was like, what is he doing? I thought he was
like
a cat.
Like a Disney character. You can't take that mask
exactly.
off.
Yeah, exactly. I was totally freaked out. But I actually enjoyed this.
Wait, what?
We just ruined the magic for Gordon of Disney. I really enjoyed this. I liked
the
storyline.
I didn't like the last issue, but I liked this one.
Yeah, I thought this issue was great.
And the backup story by writer Dwayne McDuffie.
Right.
The main story is by Alan Burnett.
Yeah.
Who's one of the producers of the animated cartoons. Oh. But
the backup story was great, too. The
backup story was fantastic. Yeah. The problem is I want him to write the book.
Yeah, yeah.
He hasn't written the book really yet.
Yeah, sure.
And he made a big splash announcing him as the new writer, and he hasn't done any of the writing on it. But that being said, it was good.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it, and it I feel bad that Dwayne McDuffie's gotten a bad.
He shouldn't be getting a bad rap for this. It's not his fault. Besides, this was I thought a good issue.
It was.
Triptych Books was founded in early 2006 by three friends who had a desire to bring new life to the industry of pen and paper role playing games. Wait a minute, three friends?
You made the joke last time.
I know. It's in the script. It's not in the script.
I have a pen. is that paper?
We're gonna
I'm an elf.
We're gonna role play after this.
Josh is an elf.
Put your pants back on, but elves don't wear pants.
Get them up.
At www.triptychbooks.com, you can find the introductory kit for the first two games as a free downloadable PDF, as well as a webcomic welcoming. It's too far away from us. As well as a welcoming forum and entertaining t-shirts. You can find them at this year's WonderCon. We'll see them this weekend. By the time you hear this, it'll be too late.
They have a booth at WonderCon. They're gonna be they were playing games in the booth, supposedly.
And that was fun. Remember when we did that?
That was fun, and then the when I slayed you with my broadsword.
These are dudes. These are dudes who wanted to make games.
They made it happen.
Yeah, they made it happen.
They went and they started a company to make and play games.
Yep.
It's the American dream.
Awesome. It's not cards. It's fucking pen and paper games. It's awesome.
I'm going to join them.
Go, okay.
Fine.
Legolas!
I mean, get them up. Less awkward when Tom shows up. Triptych Books. Games they should be. That's TRIPTYCHbooks.com.
Yeah, check them out. So there's been a there's been a lot of rumors recently about the Ultimate Line, because they're saying the Ultimate Line is always going to be four books ongoing. And there have been rumors that one of those books is going to be canceled.
It better be one of them.
And Ultimate Spider-Man probably isn't.
It's definitely not.
The Ultimates probably isn't. Ultimate Fantastic Four probably isn't. So the targets are kind of on Ultimate X-Men. And for a while, I didn't believe it. I'll believe it when I read it or I see it or whatever. Ultimate X-Men now is becoming like a Shakespeare story where Kirkman is just killing people left and right. So in this issue starts, Angel now is dead.
Yep.
And Sinister has turned into Apocalypse, and they have a huge knockout fight where Wolverine gets his arm ripped off and thrown at him by Apocalypse.
Yeah.
And basically the X-Men get their asses kicked, and all the other Ultimate superheroes come to...
Which I thought was cool. I like that moment, because I always like when there's a big thing going on, you wonder why the other people show up to help.
Yeah,
and this issue, Fantastic Four and the Spider-Man, everybody shows up.
Basically, Apocalypse has been able to take power over everybody, all the mutants, all their mutant powers, and make them turn them against people.
He controls all the mutants.
He controls all the mutants. And so Fantastic Four show up, and Spider-Man shows up, and the mutants start fighting them.
Yeah.
And New York is burning and all this kind of stuff. And it ends with some ominous two guys showing up who I don't know who they are. But my guess is that Jean is going to turn into full-fledged Phoenix, and that's how they're going to beat Apocalypse, and then they're going to cancel the book. So.
They really should. Yes. I mean, as much as I enjoyed this issue, and I did, I enjoyed this issue more than I had in a while.
Yeah.
There's no reason for this book to exist. There really isn't.
How come there's no reason for this book to exist, but you think Fantastic Four?
No,
this is not good. It's not good.
Fantastic Four has been good. None of us read Fantastic Four, so we can't... the Ultimate Fantastic Four, but the rumor has that it's been consistently good ever since...
Mike Carey's not still on it, is he?
He might be. I don't know. I don't pay attention.
We don't know.
Yeah, we have no idea. Yeah, if you read Ultimate Fantastic Four...
No, I know enough.
Just send a thread for the podcast.
And let us know.
Yeah.
We've said from the beginning, though, that Ultimate X-Men has not been...
It's been all over the place. And the thing is, Kirkman's done a good job, but there hasn't been any consistency with art and all this kind of stuff. And
I also think he was handed a flawed...
Yeah.
Foundation.
Absolutely. And what's interesting, because if you look at who's written Ultimate X-Men, it was created by Bendis and Miller.
Yep.
Then Miller wrote it, and then Bendis was writing it. Then Brian K. Vaughan was writing it, and now Kirkman's writing it. Like, it should be a hit.
I think the premise is flawed. We said this on the video show we did. It should have been X-Men First Class. This should have been the original team.
Yep.
And it should have been Spider-Man style. It should have been more.
And I think there should be more Wolverine goatee. They got rid of the goatee too early. The extreme Wolverine.
Soul patch?
Yeah. No, it was the goatee.
Everybody in here is too.
He would scrape the ground.
Wolverine. Too extreme. Ultimate Wolverine, when Ultimate X-Men started, looked like the manager in Guitar Hero 3.
Yes.
With that pointy goatee, you know? Yeah. So, anyway.
It's just everybody's extreme in this book.
Yeah,
they're all.
Remember Wolverine's claws were Mountain scraping Dune? The pavement? Yes. Yeah, they're all drinking Mountain Dew and doing 720s off the vert ramp.
Wakeboard.
Anyway, I just that book should go.
Anyway,
I'm sticking to that till he's done. But
yeah. So real quickly, I think I'm the only one out of all of us. But Image Comics is now publishing Perhaponauts, which previously was at Dark Horse and didn't get a big push there. They moved over to Image. It's written by Todd DeZago and it was drawn by Craig Russo. Really interesting, because there's a whole kind of I would say, and I actually, Josh, I think you might dig it. I think you should check it out when the regular series starts. This is the Perhaponauts annual. And what it is it's like kind of like a combination of BPRD, Hellboy-ish kind of world mixed in with like a little, like, I'm going to say proof for a reason, but like this, because it's a team that investigates, you know, kind of paranormal activities. And the team is made up of a Sasquatch, a Chupacabra, a ghost, You know, so like
Sasquatch is the new meme.
Sasquatch are the new zombies. Every book's got a Sasquatch. But now Parappanos was around before Proof, so I gotta give him credit.
And then zombies replace ninja robots and pirates.
Right, yeah, exactly. I believe. But it's interesting because the art style is a bit lighter. It's not as dark and moody as Hellboy. That might be one of the reasons why you might not like it, because it's a bit more, you know, kind of brighter.
What about the tone of the book,
though? The tone of the book is very playful and fun and a little jokey, but also, you know, a lot of action and a lot of, you know, but it's got that. It doesn't have that. It's not steeped in lore, but it's steeped.
Is there brooding? Because I could go for brooding. Yeah.
It's not steeped in myth, but it's steeped in like kind of the unknown. You know what I mean? Like kind
Proof.
Of yeah, so, yeah. So, but more Hellboy-ish. The proof is more realistic.
Right.
Where Happenots is more unrealistic. So it was good. I enjoyed it though.
Were you reading it before that?
I've read a couple of issues here and there in Dark Horse. I was going back and picking up all the trades. I don't know if they're going to reprint them in Image, kind of like what they did with Fear Agent when Fear Agent moved to Dark Horse. Mm. But I've read it here and there, but not on a regular basis. But I'm glad that's going to be back on a regular schedule. And then finally, Youngblood number 2 came out. Did you keep it up?
You know what's funny is that I wasn't going to buy it.
Yeah.
I picked it up in the store and I was like, I'll just leaf through it. I got to the last page and I was like, you know what? I want to buy this.
It got good.
It was a really good issue.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this to me, despite myself.
Yeah, it was real. I mean, it was good. It was fun. I mean,
yeah. I mean,
Joe Casey took it in a direction I didn't think he would do,
which is what he had to do.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Otherwise, what this was the direction? Gone what away.
We all know what happened.
Well,
it's a book that's about media. I mean, it's basically it's you know, like the comparisons to the Ecstatics.
Yeah.
aren't completely unfounded.
Well, the thing is, Ecstatics came after Youngblood.
Came after
Youngblood. No, and that's totally fine. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying
don't get into that.
If you haven't, no, I'm not. But if you haven't been reading,
because he'll come and post, he will.
That's fine. No, we won't. if you haven't been reading comics since Youngblood came out, and you'd only read Ecstatics, that would be the first thing that you would think of.
Yes.
This goes back; it's older than that, and that's fine. I don't even care because it's a unique take on it in this book, and I'm fine with that.
What I thought the things I thought was interesting was that they've introduced Youngblood as the America's new super team, and then in this issue they've introduced their arch nemesis, who the
Mayhem
government
Inc.
has hired, Mayhem Inc., and have hired the villains. And they put them in a scenario where they're like Bad Rock and Cougar and somebody and the other guy, Johnny Nitro, whatever it is, are at a nightclub. And one of the guys from Mayhem Inc. comes and they start a fight in the nightclub, which is a big public kind of thing. And it's all orchestrated. It's all
stuff.
PR. Yeah, it's all PR kind of thing. And it's really interesting. But in that, there are little digs that like the guy in Mayhem Inc. that picks the fight with them in the nightclub is a very Wolverine-esque, you know, kind of character. Mm-hmm. And Bad Rock goes, yeah, those claws don't look adamantium. Like, so it's like these direct, like, acknowledging that these are these digs at them, and I thought that was really interesting. But then it ends with a cliffhanger.
You saw when you leaped through it that got you to buy it then?
Well, it's the last page. That's what I was getting.
Well, yeah. Spoilers come.
Yeah.
I know, but I don't think a lot of people are reading it. So
yeah,
I
no,
think
it's okay.
They
so
do.
Shaft is the Arrow guy, yep. And he's analyzing the footage of their battle from issue one, and
he's the one going, none of this is right.
Things
do not seem peachy.
And so he peels back the layer and finds a former somebody who was involved in Youngblood. I don't know who that character was. And he's like, oh, you're behind this. What's going on? And the guy goes, you know, it's a really it's a shame he figured this out, and pulls out a gun and shoots him.
Nice.
And it ends with him dead, you know, and then the next issue is everybody's feet at a grave. And I don't know if it's him because it's like, you know, a Youngblood falls, you know, but like it sounds like they killed Shaft. They killed the main guy. Which is
kind of what you have to do going forward. Unfortunately, because the thing is, he was the only one who I like was like, I like this character.
Yeah, you like him.
That's the only
thing. I know, but that's why I was like, all right, fine. If you're going to do that, that means that you have something to do with it.
Yeah.
And I like the choice.
Yeah, so it was good.
Yeah.
So it was a big week. I can't take much more of these weeks. I need next week to be quiet.
I would like a 9-book week.
I would like an 8-book week. I think,
two high team, three weeks in a row.
I like you bargaining. Eight book.
So, all right. So, it was a fun week, but now we got WonderCon to do.
Yay.
So we should probably wrap this sucker up.
You ever have like a hangover but didn't drink?
You mean like right now?
My head hurts from getting up at 4 a.m. to go to get on the plane. I don't understand what's happening.
You know what I shouldn't have done?
What?
I shouldn't have said at 1 a.m., hey, let's play Marvel Ultimate Alliance for a little while.
That was awesome. Mistake. You should have said that because we had a good time.
Oh, friggin' Doombots.
All right. So real quick before we head out, you might have heard us last week. If you hadn't, go check out ifanboy.com, the new ifanboy.com. It's a great – if you haven't gone and made your account, please go and register. And that way there you can pull your comic books every week. You can say these are the ones I'm buying.
Right.
And then
the second week in a row, an Avengers book was the top pulled book.
Over 300 pulls.
Yeah. 322 pulls as of this
recording. I don't see it happening next week.
Yeah. I just can't. But we were really, really ecstatic with the response last week. With you know, a lot of people wrote a lot of really good reviews. A lot of people were rating them. Now we can really say what is the best book every week because you all the people are speaking up, and that's awesome. So go to ifanboy.com and register today and become a member.
If you want to send us an email, you can send us an email to contact@ifanboy.com. You can also call us on our voicemail line, which is 888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697. Next week, we will bring back the email and the voicemail.
Yeah, yes. Definitely.
Yes.
Video show. Video show, right. We do those.
Blind.
You will have just watched
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yep.
And then this week coming up, you're going to have to help me out.
A little geography lesson.
We're going at...
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah,
that's
a good one.
That's a good one. Maybe maps.
Maps.
They don't love you like I love you. So that's the video show coming up next week. Geography. It's a little lesson.
T-shirts? We got t-shirts. Go to jinx.com/ifanboy. You can buy a t-shirt. Join the Intern Nation along with Gordon. Gordon, how's your t-shirt fitting?
He's literally wearing it right now.
It fits.
Looks like it's faded a lot.
I cut these holes out right here so you can see my boobs. But.
Yeah, he's tired.
So go to jinx.com/ifanboy. Take a picture of yourself in the shirt. Upload it to Jinx. You get some free stickers.
Ifanboy.com/store for all of your book buying and Amazon buying needs. That helps the site out and you don't have to do a damn thing for it.
Ifanboy.com/store.
Can we end the show without a script?
Yes, we can. ifanboy.com/about if you want to be our friend. All the links to Facebook, MySpace, yep. ComicSpace, all the stuff there. We put it all in one place. You will never hear us say all those URLs in a podcast ever again.
Yep.
ifanboy.com/about or click on About Us in the nav.
If you like the show, you can leave us a review on iTunes or you can tell your friends, your family, and all those people. And also, if you want to help the show out, you go to ifanboy.com/donations and you can leave a donation for the show and help.
I think that's it, right?
Usually, I think so.
Yeah.
We're
flying without a net here, people. So we know it hasn't happened yet, but we're going to presume that we survived the weekend, and therefore we want to thank everybody who we talked to at WonderCon, and especially everybody who came out to the parties at Isotope Comics.
This is incredibly presumptuous of you.
It is. I'm damning us. I should knock on wood.
So there will be a really great show out of WonderCon.
Yeah.
Let's not go that far.
But we're assuming we're going to have a great time at the parties with Darwin Cook and Anthony Johnson and Ben Templesmith.
That's his name.
It's Anthony.
Anthony.
No.
Anthony.
Anthony.
Not Anthony.
Paulie Walnuts.
You do not.
Yeah.
He's not from Brooklyn. He's from England.
All right. So until next week, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Gordon the intern.
I'm so tired.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, like, my eyes burn.
I seriously have the hangover pain in my head. I've not had to drop a drink.
Me neither.
Maybe it'll help.
Maybe you should shave.
Shut up. I'm not shaving ever again.
Ever?
Just certain parts of me.
Oh, good.
Good night.